Welcome to Fire and Security Chat, brought to you by Corson Fire and Security, where we talk about the technology and equipment used to protect and secure life and property. I'm your host, Aaron Whitaker, and today I'm with Chris White, Clean Agent Corporate Trainer at Corson Fire and Security. On the last podcast, we talked about fire suppression basics, or Clean Agent fire suppression basics. Today I wanted to take a deeper dive into why room integrity is so important to the effectiveness of the fire suppression system. So Chris, first of all, I guess, is what is room integrity?
Basically, Aaron, morning everybody. Room integrity is that's what it is. It's the integrity of the protected enclosure. So your clean agent fire suppression systems, whether it's the old man on the block, Halon 1301, FM200, Novak 1230, your inert gases, they all discharge into the room as a gas. So once they discharge as a gas, the gas itself is going to kind of act like, I guess, in simple terms, kind of act like air. Air is going to find a way out of that room. So we need to, the industry standard is we need to maintain that clean agent for a minimum of 10 minutes. That's kind of the industry standard. But if you can't maintain the enclosure integrity, there's holes, you have large conduit openings, ceiling tiles out of place, your door frame, windows, those type of things aren't properly sealed, then if you can't maintain that gas in that enclosure, then it may initially suppress or extinguish the ignition source. But once it gets below its design criteria, that ignition source may actually be allowed to reignite if the energy source is still, energizing that equipment that caused the ignition source for the system to discharge anyway. So enclosure integrity is the tightness actually of the room. So some of the things that we look at during the inspection is visually. We visually look at the room while we're performing the inspection. And visually, what does the room look like? To really understand what your enclosure integrity looks like is what they call a door fan test. And basically what that is we come in and or other vendors or whatever can come in and put a door in the exit. We seal up that opening and we figure out if there's a room positive, negative to its outside environment. And then we start getting our numbers off the program and we start running the fan. There are certain other things that we need to look at while we're running the fan, pressure.
When you say positive or negative, mm-hmm. Are you talking about pressure?
Is the room that is being protective positive or negative to its outside environment? If it's positive, our reader is going to tell us that. Mm-hmm. What can happen is it can actually force the agent out of the room much quicker. If it's negative, it's going to kind of want to... It's not the agent itself doesn't seem to want to leak out as fast as far as the lower lying openings, but it could affect higher openings within the enclosure. But basically what we're doing is taking that fan, we figure out what our pressure is, again, negative or positive, and then we're going to start running the fan. We're looking at pascals, which is the measurement of air, and our CFMs, the pressure. Once we get that, we turn the fan off, we turn around, now we're depressurizing the room, getting our ratings with all that into the enclosure integrity program, and it will come back and tell you, okay, this is the cubic volume of room of the area that you've put into this program. Based on that and based on the agent that that's protecting that room, here is your allowable leakage area, which is usually square inches. And here is what has been measured. And then really based off of the information, it will tell you, worst case, what the retention time is, what we call it. In other words, how long is that clean agent going to stay in that enclosure? Now, with a single door fan, when we run one fan starting out doing a door fan test, what it actually is doing is it's already assuming, the program's already assuming that 50% of the leaks are inside the room, 50% are above the ceiling. So what we can do is as long as the walls, which they should be running all the way up to the deck and be totally sealed off, and all
like the drywall or the wall,
yeah,
the drywall should be all the way to the from the floor to the ceiling,
And actually, up above the ceiling, and I'll circle back around to that here in a little bit on when we're kind of looking at the visual of the integrity itself. But basically, then what we can do is called a BCLA. That's below ceiling leakage area. So then basically what we're doing is we have our single fan, and then we have another fan up on top. There's a flex duct that runs up to the ceiling. And we get those fans running, and basically what we're doing is we're eliminating the ceiling. We'll take a Mr. Smoke, and once we see that Mr. Smoke just kind of balancing in the air, we know that the ceiling and the room are the exact same pressure.
What's Mr. Smoke?
It's a cool little thing that comes with the door fan test unit. The smoke is very buoyancy to air. So if there is no air movement and you puff it up into the atmosphere, it'll just hang in the air. If the air movement, you know, is flowing out fast out of the room or in, it'll actually go the direction of the actual air. It's telling us which direction the air. Yep. Yeah, and that's one way we can verify where leakage is at. But if we need to eliminate the ceiling, because again, the single door fan test is assuming worst case, 50% of leaks are in the room, 50% are above the ceiling. Now, if we can do a BCLA, then we get everything neutralized, we run our test. That will actually give us a better reading of what the enclosure integrity time, retention time is. But one of the problems that we have starting to see is because a lot of these servers have gotten smaller, they're running hotter. So we've seen where some customers have decided that they've had this empty office and they needed more room for additional servers. That room was never built to retain any kind of agent at all. So those walls, in a normal construction, those walls are usually going 6-8 inches above what the ceiling height is. They're not sealed all the way to the top. And then behind the baseboard, usually when they hang drywall, there's a 1/4 inch or a 1/2 inch gap underneath. And it's not sealed up. They just put the baseboard over the top because it's not going to be looked at. When it comes to enclosure integrity, you got to think of kind of like, I like to use like a water jug or milk jug. So you got your 1 gallon milk jug and you take your cap off, right? And you turn it over. What happens with that liquid? Boom.
Yep.
Boom. It's really slow, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you take another 1 gallon water jug, take the cap off, poke a hole in the bottom. Now you turn it over. Liquid flows out pretty. It's the exact same concept with enclosure integrity. The only difference is we want to get the bottom sealed first, then work our way up. Because if you can get the bottom of the leakage sealed up, then the upper leaks may not really have any effect on the enclosure integrity. Now, not saying that it never will, but there's a possibility upper leaks may not have any effect on the enclosure integrity. The reason being is all the agents, some form or fashion, are heavier than air. So some are more than others. Novac is actually probably the heaviest. So it's going to want to, after it's discharged, it's going to want to really settle quickly towards the floor level. It's just the nature of the agent. Even though it's filling up the entire room, the agent itself is still going to want to, you know, settle towards the floor. So what a lot of people misunderstand or don't think about is, okay, we've had this office. We want to throw servers. Oh my gosh, these servers are very high value assets. We need them. We don't want to protect them. We don't want them to get wet. So we need a clean agent. The clean agent's thrown in there. You've really just thrown your money away because if you can't retain that agent inside the enclosure, what are you doing? So those are things that really need to be thought about. So when we're visually looking at the room, those are some of the things that we're trying to verify. Are the walls running from the floor and are sealed at the floor, up to the roof deck, or to the next level, all the way up, being sealed? Do dampers? Are dampers 100% air cutoff? The dampers, if they have dampers that need to shut down while the system activates into alarm, those dampers need to be fire-rated dampers. and they need to have 100% air cutoff. If you have a self-contained air handling unit that's actually inside the room, then it doesn't necessarily have to shut down, but it's probably a good idea. If it's a self-contained unit that's outside the room, because that's kind of the new thing, is putting some of these things outside the room or up above the room, and even though it may just be circulating the air inside that one enclosure, that could be a source of leakage. So maybe the ductwork leading from that unit into the room needs to be properly dampered off. The unit itself would still need to be shut down. If it's a supply return type concept, so you've got an air handler unit that's protecting an office and maybe the server room or the room being protected by the clean agent, and there's supply and return, there's no doubt it absolutely has to be shut down and properly dampered off, because that's additional volume that the agent is going to want to go to in the discharge and all that. Door sweeps. Do the doors have proper door sweeps that really seal on the floor? Do the door jams have proper seals around all the way around the, you know, around the door frames? Windows are supposed to have proper seals. Using the spray foam and insulation, that's not 100% air cutoff. It really needs to be some kind of fire pillow or fire caulk that really seals everything up. Like I said, enclosure integrity was one of the biggest things. It's fantastic that your smoke smokes, your bells ring-a-dinging, your horn strobes, and everything is functioning. But at the end of the day, even if it's been installed properly, if you can't maintain that enclosure, maintain the enclosure integrity, make sure your ceiling tiles are in good condition. Make sure that things are being properly sealed. Things are being put back into place. To be honest with you, you're really wasting your money, because you're going to be very disappointed in the event that you need to have that clean agent system activate and the ignition source actually is allowed to reactivate. The initial response is going to be, well, the system didn't quote unquote put the fire out. Well, it may actually did its job, but the problem is you're not maintaining the agent. It wasn't allowed to keep that ignition source suppressed until emergency responding personnel, because that's ultimately what you're trying to do. So yeah, enclosure integrity goes hand in hand with the system itself, but that's probably one of the biggest things that gets ignored quite often.
Now, integrity, room integrity, enclosure integrity, and you talk about the agent being able to be kept inside there and not leak out, mm-hmm. where the fire could rekindle. Is there a limit or a time that you're working on? I mean, should it stay in there for 10 minutes? Or?
So the way the NFPA standards are written, the industry standard, it's now actually in the newer NFPA 2001, which is the standard for clean agent fire extinguishing systems. It actually now specifies 10 minutes. But that's kind of the standard. So that's based on emergency responding personnel from the time they get the signal to respond to the location to see what the heck's going on, right? So there have been times when we've actually, customers, you know, paid Corson to come. They want to do enclosure integrity test. We've done an enclosure integrity test. And in one setting, maybe we've ran five different tests. We've taped other things up. We've done other things. And we finally get to the point, for the example, we can't get past 7 minutes. We've actually had where the customer has got documentation from the authority having jurisdiction, whether that's the fire marshal, insurance, you know, whoever that is, and because maybe they were manned 24/7, mm-hmm. they were okay with that time frame. The industry standard is really 10 minutes. But this other thing to think about, everybody wants to hang everything on the 10 minutes. Well, what if it's, you know, like a telecom site out in the middle of nowhere, and best case, you know, something happens, fire department, whoever needs to respond, but it takes them 12 minutes to get there. Okay, it's great that it held for 10 minutes, but the reality of it is it actually has failed because it really needs to hold for 12 minutes. But everybody, again, wants to hang everything on the 10-minute retention time. And that, because that's the industry standard, but that not necessarily is the be-all, end-all, but that's where everybody starts looking and kind of bases, did it pass, fail, or what's going on.
Now, what are As far as room integrity, what are some kind of common mistakes people make that impair or hurt the integrity of the room? I mean, as I, you know, leaving doors open, mm-hmm. or even, I guess, you know, if their server space is getting smaller, you know, it's smaller, more streamlined servers, you know, less or more space you're obviously dealing with.
Yeah, so probably the biggest one, and IT people, sorry to pick on you, but been doing this for going on 23 years, and it never seems to fail. They can have, you know, the IT people, as smart as they are, may need to run one little cable, and they'll take out half the ceiling tile, move the ceiling tiles out of the way, and they never put them back. Okay. And they'll leave doors open. You know, they'll put a hole in the wall and won't seal it back up. Unfortunately, sometimes when we pick up service from a system maybe that we did not install, but we picked up the service that somebody else installed, they were kind of doomed from the get-go because nobody's had that conversation with them. So when we start sometimes, because I've had it happen where you start having the conversation with the customer about, you know, this room wasn't really designed to, you know, maintain the agent inside the room, and you can see them get a little aggravated because they were sold a bill of goods that, you know, somebody didn't bother to have a conversation with them. The new thing that's really coming up, and they're going to, the FSSSA, the Fire Suppression Association, is actually going to start doing some testing with a lot of the manufacturers. When they're going to start doing the testing, I'm not sure, but one of the new phenomena is because these servers are running hotter, because they're running smaller, mm-hmm. temperature is a really big deal in these server rooms. So one of the things that they're doing, and I say they, customers or whatever, are adding additional air volume or airflow. What we don't know, and so to compensate for the, and to make the rooms more efficient, as far as heating and air and all that, or they're putting up barriers around the servers, or they're burying off the servers, or just the airflow itself, we don't know what's that doing with the hot and cold aisles, because the hotter the fire, the more stratification you have of smoke. The colder, it doesn't want to stratify as much. What is that doing not only with the stratification for your detection and control, but also what's happening with our design concentrations? Is it really affecting the agent basically disbursement coming out of the discharge nozzles? Are we causing, is there a possibility that there's impingement? In other words, we're affecting the actual discharge characteristics coming out of the nozzle because of the airflow. Those are going to be some of the things that they're actually going to be testing and verifying. Right now, nobody really knows what ramifications can come from it. How long the testing and their data and all that's going to take, I don't have any idea. But it'll be very, very interesting to see once they get all their testing accomplished, how the NFPA committees and manufacturers, and again in cahoots with the Fire Suppression Association, they all get together and figure out best course of action, best protection needs. Because we've found in some cases where these systems were originally installed and everything was okay, and over time customers have added additional airflow, and nobody's even thought about the system that they spent a lot of money on to protect their high value assets, and it may not actually be able to do its intended purpose. So those are some things that that are coming down the pike, but I guess that's a long answer to your question. The biggest thing is ceiling tiles not being put back in place, holes in walls not being properly sealed back up, and leaving doors open because they're, you know, don't want their server room to get too hot. Well, that's fine. You want to leave your door open? That's perfectly fine, but we can install what they call a door holder. You may have to get a closure by a door company installed on it. You want to leave the door open, that's fine, but upon alarm, have that door release in that way, because, you know, you got to get that door sealed, that door shut and sealed up to make sure that we're reaching the proper design concentration.
So what tips would you give to people who already have fire suppression agent systems in their server rooms? At what point should they have them rechecked? You know, I mean, with technology, it seems like people are upgrading to new servers, new systems, getting bigger ones, adding more racks. At what do we need, do they need, every time they add a new rack, do they need to have it retested? Or?
No. To answer your question, they need to ask themselves, have we ever had an enclosure integrity test actually done?
Okay.
If the answer is no, you may really, really want to think about having one done. See where your room is actually at. If it's been, and there's nothing in the standard that says after a period of time, you have to do it, you know, give a specific period of time of when your next enclosure integrity test should be done. Basically, and I'm going to ad lib a little bit, basically NFPA standard more or less says that at any point in time, the service, basically a service company sees there's any chance of propagation of fire or there's been changes to the enclosure integrity, if it's not been corrected, an enclosure integrity test shall be performed. Most service companies are not, you know, especially Corson, we're not an enforcement agency.
Yeah.
We'll absolutely make the recommendation. But the thing you need to think about is everybody always wants to think with the server, primarily with these server rooms or telecommunication rooms, laboratories, those type of things. A lot of places that you'll see an enclosure or a clean agent system is what's the return on my investment? Because everybody's always thinking about the hardware. Well, can you really put a price on your data loss? If you have a fire event and you lost a server, can you really put a, you know, cost on the data that you've lost and the downtime, which can affect personnel? Maybe now you need to start laying people out. There's a whole lot of, you know, ramifications with that.
I think we've actually written about that before.
Yeah, I think you have.
How much the cost per hour, and it's, I don't quote me, but it's 6,000 or, I mean, it's a lot, I was thinking.
It is. Yeah. Some studies was done, gosh, I think back like by, last time they really did the study was like 2011, I think. They estimated on average, it's about $50,000 of revenue lost per an hour on average. It's probably gone up now.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about that. That's a lot of that's a lot of revenue. So enclosure integrity and your clean agent system work hand in hand. The other thing that a lot of people forget about enclosure integrity, if you can get your room somewhat tight, it's kind of like your house. You know, you start getting your heating and air bill and you can't figure out why it's so high. And the next thing you find out, well, my windows leak like a sieve. Well, it's kind of the same thing. It helps with efficiency, you know, inside the room. It helps you with your cost savings. And so, yeah, it may cost, oh my gosh, you know, it's going to cost us thousands of dollars to get this room sealed up. The reality of it is that's really a return on your investment because you are now hopefully keeping your room sealed up, the enclosure, the agent's going to be able to be maintained if needed. And the other benefactor, again, is efficiency and cost of just the room, you know, operating in and of itself because it's more efficient. You know, there's a lot of things that kind of go hand in hand, you know, and I get it. I understand that sometimes you just, you know, we need more servers. You don't think about some of the other things that go into now so we want a clean agent system. But don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to ask, especially if you are entertaining a new system, an upgrade, or you've got a new room that you really ask those vendors, what about enclosure integrity? Because if they can't or are not willing to discuss that with you, they're not willing to review that with you, they're not willing to do that test for you, at the end of the day, it's your decision on who you want to use, but that may not necessarily be the right service company that you want to have installing the system. So again, I know I'm keep like kind of repeating myself or whatever, but enclosure integrity is so incredibly important when it comes to clean agent fire suppression systems. Because again, if you can't maintain the gas inside your room, really, what's the point? And, you know, and if you've listened to me either from AHJ seminars or videos that we've done that have been posted on YouTube and all those type of things, I've mentioned that fire sprinklers are absolutely, I mean, they are a proven commodity. They are a proven, light, you know, system to extinguish a fire. But what a lot of people forget about, you know, it's not, again, it's not like in the movies, you know, it's going to take a huge ignition source to get that to activate. Sprinklers are there to protect the building, not the contents. That's the biggest difference with clean agent, is we're really trying to protect the contents or the high value server rooms or libraries or laboratories or whatever the case may be, because we want these systems to activate quickly in the incipient stage. So again, those things kind of go hand to hand.
Last question is, fire marshals, when they go to do fire inspections and stuff, you know, sprinklers are obviously usually required in a mm-hmm. building, and suppression systems, clean agent suppression systems, are kind of a added benefit.
Correct.
You don't need one, but just as you said, it protects the, you know, your contents. So as when a fire marshal comes in and does inspections and makes sure everything has been inspected, checked on what's required by the jurisdiction or NFPA, as far as clean agent suppression systems go, is room integrity a requirement, a room integrity test proven, or?
The only time that it the way the standard's written, the only time it really should be done or shall be done is on the commissioning of the new system being installed. Depending on the jurisdiction, they may not give occupancy to that customer until they're satisfied with the enclosure integrity. Others, they may not even be there. Okay, it's great that the enclosure integrity was done. It's really up to jurisdiction to jurisdiction. It really depends on how stringent they really want to be. I think it really goes down to some of it, you know, to your state and local fire codes. And I think it also comes to manpower and, you know, those type of things. You know, because clean agents aren't required, but there would be, they're now, once you have them, they've got to be properly maintained. And, you know, I think a lot of times fire marshals go in, they're just looking at documentation. Has it been tested? And again, that's one of the things that we are trying to do with some of the AHJ seminars and stuff, that was especially the ones that we've got coming up this year. That is going to be what my presentation is going to be on, little finer things with enclosure integrity to help them, because they have a lot on their plate. I mean, they have a lot on their plate. Not just looking at their life safety systems. There's a lot of other things that they're having to look at. So if we can help in these seminars, help educate a little bit and have hopefully that open dialogue with them, if they ever have questions, that we can, you know, at the end of the day, help them be able to have a better understanding, but at the end of the day, also help the customer make sure that their life safety systems are going to operate as needed.
So basically it comes down to the customer and hoping that the vendor that they chose to install the clean agent suppression system involved enclosure integrity.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, because at the end of the day, we can do an enclosure integrity today, and let's say the room came back and it held for 12 minutes. Mm-hmm. But once we walk away a week from now, if the customer, for whatever, removed a bunch of ceiling because they were doing whatever, and they never put it back, I mean, it's their room. It's their responsibility to make sure the enclosure integrity is intact. You know, and it kind of goes back to one of the big things that some jurisdictions are really starting to push is, have your personnel been properly trained on the operations of the system? Well, part of the operations of that system is, do you really understand what it takes to hopefully properly maintain your enclosure integrity? If you do this, this is what's going to happen. So training really goes in And based off of that training, you know, customers really ought to have an SOP, a sequence of operations of these are the things that you need to do, not only upon system activation, but, okay, we're doing some work running additional cables, we're changing out server racks, whatever the case may be. We got to make sure that we're putting everything back to where it's supposed to go to help maintain that enclosure integrity. And it's a good rule of thumb. Again, even though nothing is written, it may not be a bad idea to have, you know, have an enclosure integrity test done at least every 5 years. You know, because you never know, you may have made a change and you didn't realize how much it was going to affect and, you know, not allow the clean agent to do its full operational that you were hoping for.
Or somebody else made a change that you weren't aware
of. That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
All right. Well, I think that's about it for today. If you want to learn more about clean agent suppression systems or are interested in having them installed, designed, inspected, room integrity, enclosure integrity tests, you know, contact Corson at corson.com or call your local branch.
That's right. I hope it was informative for everybody, and look forward to the next one, what we do.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
Yep. Thank you.
All right, bye.
If you like today's episode, we encourage you to subscribe to the podcast and rate us on iTunes. You can also find our podcast on Spotify, Pocket Cast, Google Podcast, and other popular podcast players. Search for Corson Fire and Security Chat to find it. Thanks once again for listening, and I will see you next week for our next episode of the Corson Fire and Security Chat podcast. Have a great day, everybody. Bye. The information in this podcast is for informational purposes only. It is believed to be reliable, but Corson Fire and Security assumes no responsibility or liability for any errors or omissions in the content of this podcast. It does not constitute professional advice. The listener of this podcast is responsible for verifying the information's accuracy from all available sources, including the product manufacturer. The authority having jurisdiction should be contacted for code interpretations.